Just tell him that you love him, if you really do. How much you appreciate him, that you care for him. Lord, you are our all in all. You are our healer, our deliverer, our redeemer, the lover of our soul. You are our light, and you are our life. Glory be to God. We bless the name of the Lord. Your name is great in this place and in this city and in this nation. May your name go forth in all power and authority. And God, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in this hour, in this season, in this time. Glory be to God. Well, you all can be seated. As you're seated, smile. This is the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice whether we feel like it or not. And we will be glad in it, whether we feel like it or not. Glory be to God. Bless the Lord. Joy. You know, you can be joyful in your heart, in the inner man, regardless of what's going on the outside. In the midst of turmoil and chaos in the land, we can have joy. And nobody can steal that from us. You know what happens? You know how you get rid of joy? Not that you want to know, but you give it up. You give it up. We're going to do a few things a little different this morning as we celebrate the birth of our Lord, our Savior, our elder brother, our master, our king, the lover of our soul, the one who sticks with us and never leaves us, nor forsakes us, the one who has given us life, and he's the light of the world. And because he's in us, he has illuminated the inside of us and brought healing and transformation and reformation. Glory be to God. I'm going to call some people up. It's probably going to be the majority of the congregation this morning. And there are volunteers. We haven't done this. I don't think we've done this for a long, long time this way. But also, I just wanted to let you know, too, we have a lot of people sick. How many of you have been sick through this kind of season? This has been crazy stuff going on. I'm still got a little bit of things. He didn't have to raise his hand on that. We have several other people sick, and you know, let's just rehearse some of the common things. Take care of your body. Wash your hands. Drink, watch a fluid. Yeah, use your oils. Pray. Get a word from God. Get a word from God. Man, the word of God is just powerful. You have one word from God. I mean, he spoke the worlds into existence from a word spoken. And when he gives you a word and you speak what he tells you to speak, it's got just that much of power, just that much authority and creative ability, or even destructive ability, if that's the kind of word he gives, as if he spoke it himself. You believe that? Yeah. I believe it. Well, Crystal, would you please come forward? And there's several people not here, but we're going to honor them anyway. And I'm going to try to do this by name. Here's yours. Sarah, would you come? If you guys can stay up here when I call you and the band's going to stay. Sarah, is Sarah here? There she is. Rhonda, Christina Castillo, she's not here. Pam, is Pam here? Is she downstairs? Okay. Sarah, and then you can give this to Pam when she comes. Here's your these are your children's teachers right here. And some others kind of help from time to time, but these are ones that really spend a lot of time in working with your children. Hey, Russ, could you help me? This is the band here. And the band. And there's one for Jay, if you can take, give Lori Jay's. Rich and Lee and Kevin, would you please come up too? We got the worship team. We got the sound people. Kevin's sister, Karen, she's not here. We want to honor her too. Acknowledge that your faithfulness, Rich, Lee, and here's Karen and Kevin. You're Karen and Kevin today. Cherie, would you come forward? Cherie's our office administrator. She's our neighborhood network coordinator. There's Pam. Pam, would you come forward? Perfect timing. Brenda Craven, would you come forward, please? Karen Crawley. Mark Dominic. Richard's not here, so you're Mark and Richard. Oh, here's, that's yours. This is yours. Some of our teachers right here, huh? Anointed teachers. Mark is our head usher, and Richard are very faithful. Yeah, that's awesome. And I have, there's three others that I want to call up too, because you do some things that we want to publicly acknowledge you, even though you probably don't necessarily want it. And very many people see you. Tom and Candy. They help out a lot in the neighborhood network. Debbie Oswald, please come forward. She helps out in the neighborhood network as well. She's just an all-around wonderful lady. And this guy is here all the time. He helps in all kinds of different ways. Wild Bill, would you please come forward? Most of the time, he's the last one out. Make sure that the door's locked, the chairs are back in order. Thank you for your help. And Brenda Cadwell, you help in so many ways. Would you please come? Hey, Renee, would you come up? And because I want to pray for him, too, as a group. Yes. Thank you, guys, so much. Here, you can come over here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wait, don't leave yet. From the bottom of our hearts, we do want to say thank you. Thank you so much. And it's not enough, but thank you. And I know the Lord appreciates you and your faithfulness, your love for him, and your love for God's people. And you are what makes New Covenant Ministries function and works. And really, all of you all of you have helped in so many different ways and little ways. Some of you are interceding that nobody ever really knows about. And your presence and your relationship with one another, your ministering. But we just want to say thank you and Merry Christmas. We love you guys. You guys are incredible people. Father, I just thank you so much for this group of volunteers and those that are not feeling well or not here today. God, I ask that you would bless them in this Shemitah year, God, that you would return all things, Father God, back to them, that all debt would be canceled in Jesus' mighty name. Even the debt, Father, not just financial, but any debt, God, in Jesus' name would be canceled that was against them, and that, Father, they would receive a double portion in this time, in this season, Lord God. Father, I ask you that you would increase the anointing on their life. And Father, thank you. May they know what a gift they are to the kingdom and to New Covenant Ministries and to us in our relationship with them, Father. We thank you. We bless you. And we say Merry Christmas. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Did you guys want to say anything? I kind of forgot that part. Okay. Amen. Hey, Yvonne, would you please stand too? We want to honor you, even though you just joined the neighborhood network and are doing all of the ordering and things. And we want to acknowledge you and thank you for your volunteerism and your help. Praise God. I don't often preach short messages, and today's going to be one, so don't get used to it. Yesterday morning, as I typically do every morning, and I just kind of just meditate, talk with the Lord a little bit. We have different conversations from time to time. Sometimes He'll speak directly to me. Sometimes we just kind of sit together. Anybody ever do that with the Lord? You just kind of sit together? You know, one of the things I really enjoy with my wife is knowing that she's just there. You know what I mean? She can just there in the house, just in the room. And I discovered that a long time ago. I just enjoy that. Even if we're not talking or doing anything together, I just like her there. You know what I mean? Yeah, her presence there. And I discovered that that's one of the things I really enjoy about the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of aspects. I love talking with Him, hanging out, doing different things. But I love just knowing He's there. You know what I mean? Well, me and two others. Why don't you turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1. There's, as I was saying yesterday when I was just kind of hanging out with the Lord real early and don't know really what's going on, but I guess it's been 2 weeks. Renee and I have just been getting up like super early. I usually get up 5:30, 6 o'clock normally, but yeah, it's been 3. I was awake at 2 this morning, just bizarre times, and Renee too, and I know I've mentioned that to some of you, and some of you have been getting up. Let me just see your hands. If that's been you and it's not normal, wow. Yeah, just waking up here lately at 2, 3, 4 o'clock, whatever, that's not a normal time for you. And so anyway, yesterday when I was just kind of hanging there with the Lord and talking in the living room, I specifically asked Him about today, and I heard Him say two words. And they're very simple words, and I've just been kind of meditating on them a little bit, and I just want to share that with you, a message through the Christmas story of these two words, and I'll reveal them as we go along. But in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, last week I talked a little bit about this particular verse, just as the Lord was giving me some things right on the spot about Mary. And just how Mary came, the angel Lord Gabriel came right into Mary. I mean, He just invaded her life. You ever have God just invade your life? I mean, just out of the blue, it's just like, bam. And He's there, and whether He speaks to you in your heart or whatever kind of encounter you may have with Him. And it just, this word keeps coming to me. I think you'll understand. It just kind of wrecks you. You know what I mean? It just kind of wrecks you a little bit. It's like you were headed on a journey and God just kind of intervened and it changed your focus a bit or your direction. And this is kind of what happened with Mary. Mary, you know, she's planning on getting married, and actually legally she was married. When you're in a betrothal time, she was legally married to Joseph. And that year, right after you do the contract, you know, the prearranged marriages, and the parents make this contract, and she's really legally married to Joseph. And typically in the culture, the Hebrew culture, once the contract was made, there was a year that where you would not be living together and not physically, what's a good word? You know what I mean. Consummation, not having a, yeah, that's it. So they were in this year period, and really you can tell later, because I think it's in Matthew's gospel that when Joseph found out she was pregnant, he considered divorcing her. Now, in this year period, it was part of it is to prove your faithfulness, your purity, and your covenant to the other one. And so if a woman would end up pregnant during this 1 year period, it wouldn't be good. Either they two got together or she got together with somebody else. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because sometimes when God invades your life and you have an encounter with Him, it will cost you. And so here's Mary. She's invaded by the Lord through this angel. The angel tells her that she is going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and impregnated by God himself. Now, we all know the story, so it's not shocking to us. But if you just put yourself in that time, this has never happened before. She's minding her own business. She's got a life she's already probably got fairly planned out. She's married. She, you know, when the year's up, they're going to move in together and, you know, work and have their own place. And she's going to have a family. She's got it all planned out. Anybody ever have it all planned out? You just got your own expectations. You're kind of planning out. And all of a sudden, God comes and he just kind of wrecks some things for you. And you know what he's really wanting to do? He's really wanting to position you for greatness. Because it's greater than your plans. His plans, his purposes, his promises, and his destiny for you is greater than even what you can dream up on your own. Now that's just like, wow, you got to kind of think about that one. And then you have to think a little bit about what happened with Mary. I mean, here she is. She's having this encounter. She's planning on getting married. Her life is somewhat planned out for at least the near future. And God just changes it all. Now she's going to be pregnant. And it's like, what, have you ever had God speak to you and you know this is going to hurt? This is going to cost you something because she's apparently going to have to tell her parents. She's not going to be able to hide it for very long. She's going to have to tell Joseph. Under the law, being pregnant outside of wedlock or this situation, she is now could get stoned to death. I mean, this was a big, big deal. We read the story and we just, you know, kind of, oh yeah, we know the story. We've heard it since we were a kid. And we don't think about the weightiness of the cost that Mary was going to have to face. And the Bible doesn't really go into it. But just knowing the culture and the thing and the time and what was going on, she had to face some of these things. To say yes to the Lord could cost her family, her community, and her husband, and her own dreams. That was the possibility of all of those things. Here's the two words I heard this morning. Behold. Behold. That's the first one. I'll tell you the second one in a minute. You know how many times behold is in the Bible? Well, I don't either, but it's a lot. Behold, beholding. That word is in the Bible a ton of times, behold. Matter of fact, a lot of times when the Lord showed up, an angel came up, that word came out, behold. I was thinking of a scripture, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, is what came to mind when the Lord said that. And I'll paraphrase it because I can't remember it line by line. But with an unveiled face, we behold him as in a mirror. And as we're doing that, we are transformed into his image. Whoa, that gives me chills. We behold him as in a mirror. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And that reflect as we are looking and gazing upon him, his image is, I don't know how this happens. It's a crazy thing. But his image gets imparted into us and we become transformed more like him. See, we become like what we behold. See, if we have our idols and our music stars and our athletic stars and whatever it might be, what we are beholding, what we are paying attention to, looking, gazing on, what we're meditating on, we end up becoming like that thing. We begin to take on that image to at least some degree. Second word, hope. Behold and hope. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? And see, the things that we constantly are meditating on, focusing on, set our sights on, the things that we are beholding, we tend to become or take on the characteristics, the nature of that thing, whatever it is. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, He is hope. He is the anchor of our soul. Hope is the anchor. An anchor is what holds you solid still. It keeps you from rocking, if you know what an anchor does in a boat. It keeps a boat from drifting, from moving. It's solid and it keeps you firm. See, there's so many things going on in the world today. There's chaos, there's negative news, there's all kinds of stuff happening, right? On the TV, the news, and things around us. And if we're beholding those things constantly, our hope begins to fade. I'm not saying that we have to be ignorant about what's going on. We need to be informed. But I feel like the Lord's challenging us on what are we beholding? What are we really beholding? What are we really focused on? What are we gazing on? Where are we spending our time, our energy, our focus? Who is it or what is it? And to truly take an honest look at our own hearts, are we becoming like that thing? See, you can even behold a God, God in heaven, with a wrong concept of His nature and become like that. For instance, if you think God is a distant God, is not really a loving God, but a demanding God and always wanting something for you, and that is who you meditate on, that kind of God, you end up kind of becoming like that. So it's not only focusing on Him and gazing and beholding on Him, but we have to have a correct biblical understanding of who He really is, His character and His nature. And behold that. Because as we talk about all the time, God's main purpose is for every person, right? Every human being to come into a saving knowledge of Him, of Jesus Christ, to become born again. But His second is for each and every person that come into relationship with Him is to become Christ-like. And the way we become Christ-like, that's having Christ-like character traits. The way we do that is by beholding Him, not beholding a false idol or picture of Him, or a false concept or religious picture of Him. Or it's not beholding our favorite, whatever, star of music, star of athletics, whatever it might be, but beholding the true living Word of God. And I was thinking of just that story and how Jesus being born in a, laid in this manger, a feeding trough. Things don't always, you know, I think sometimes we have this false concept when God speaks, everything's going to be a bed of roses when we follow Him and everything's going to work out just right. And as we talked about with Mary, I mean, she had some real serious decisions. I mean, she had to have weighed this at some point, her family, her community, stoning, losing her marriage. And then here's Jesus, I mean, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and there's not a hotel room for the guy, and they had to find this feeding trough and lay Him in. And what a prophetic picture of being the bread of life where all can come and feed on Him. And so I was thinking of that, and, you know, the shepherds that come, and it's they're beholding Him. His parents beholding Him. And how too often we have just such a false concept of who He is. And, you know, sometimes our worship can become an idol. Hello. Our traditions can become an idol. And we can behold more of our traditions. I mean, obviously, I'm not against Christmas, Christmas trees, lights, sugar cookies, all that kind of stuff. But it's always interesting that we celebrate Jesus' birthday, although we don't really know the exact date of that. But we give each other gifts and we don't think about giving His. It's His birthday. And what does God want that He doesn't have? Could it be people? Could it be areas of my heart I haven't relinquished fully to Him that I'm holding back? See, Mary had to go into this with complete faith and trust and total abandonment, knowing that her very life could be at stake for saying yes. And that's the kind of decision we need to make. Are we fully in? Or are we just partly in? Are we fully devoted into this? Are we fully engaged? Are we truly beholding Him? Because I just want to tell you, there's hope is fading in the world. Just look around. Hope is fading with Christians. And I would submit to you, because we become like what we behold, that's one of our problems. We're not becoming like Him because we may not be beholding Him. This is just a wonderful Merry Christmas message. But I believe the Lord is wanting to instill some hope that we've never really had before. I really do. I think it's a word for the hour, for the season. We're going to need that hope. And that kind of hope only comes from Him as we're beholding Him. It's not going to come because you got a better job or a raise, or you found a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or your husband's nice to you now. All those things are wonderful. They're great. But the true hope only comes from Jesus Christ. It's a hope that is an anchor of our soul, that anchors us, keeps us from drifting, from floating, from bouncing here to there, up and to down, that we're consistent, that we're solid. Because our hope is rooted in Him. Because we know that He is a God that doesn't lie. That His promises and His purposes are true. That when He says, I am something, that is who I am, regardless of how I feel or what the world says about it. And I have what He says that I have. The Word tells us that the dead can come back to life, the old can be made new. The sick and diseased can be healed. The broken can be made whole. What is cursed and bound can be free and blessed. The hopeless can be renewed to hope once again. And the longing of our hearts can find fulfillment and contentment. We can fulfill our created purpose and destiny. Even the worst of sinners can become pure, undefiled, and spotless virgin bride of Christ. All can be restored to their created purpose. Everyone, just like Mary, can be positioned for greatness and destiny. But we must choose it. It doesn't just happen. We must choose it. Do you know the Lord is more interested in how we finish than He is on how we started? He's more interested in how we finish this race. And I want to decree a verse over you. Out of Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the will of God for you. We're going to take communion here together. And communion is several things, but it's our common union. We're declaring our common union with the Lord and with one another. And I'm going to choose to do something, and I'm going to ask you to do it as well if you so feel led, is to, during this communion, as we partake of this together, that you reconsecrate yourself to Christ. That you commit to aligning with His Word in every area of your life. And as you do, I'm going to do this. In this season, in this time, in this hour, that we declare that we would hear the voice of the Lord more accurately, and we will obey more quickly and faithfully. Anna, could you come up? I know I didn't ask you about this before. I'm just going to ask you to help me with this, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask that we just take a moment here and open our hearts and our ears to the Spirit of God and what He may be saying to us personally before we take these elements together. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes to do that. And if the Lord's tugging on your heart, maybe you've really never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never come into a relationship or been born again with Him. This can be your moment that He positions you for greatness and for destiny. Maybe you've strayed from the Lord. Maybe there's something the Lord's just been speaking to you about and you've been wrestling with that. Just talk to Him about that. Release that to Him. Reconsecrate yourself to the Lord once again, fresh and anew. This is going to be one exciting time that we've entered into. This Shemitah year, there's so many things converging, so many things the Lord's doing and saying. And we're going to be positioned right. We're going to be aligned right for this season and this hour. Amen. Yeah. No, I don't know that. Do you want to, why don't you come up? I don't know that much. You want to come up and tell people that?
Hanukkah, the word Hanukkah, which is also the word Enoch, they're both from the same root word, Enoch and Hanukkah, means to rededicate. And Hanukkah was a time that happened on Kislev 25, which was this last Tuesday. And it was a time when the temple was rededicated. This is a time when dark spiritual forces take advantage in the natural of the darkness on the earth. And they come in and they try to harass the people of God. This is not a happy time in the spiritual realm. This is a time of great warring and darkness. And this is a time when Christians sometimes feel an overwhelming weight of heaviness that seems unexplainable. And so this is a time we know in the natural that Judah Maccabee rose up and conquered the Syrian, who was a type of the Antichrist, Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, and the miraculous oil that lasted 8 days. We don't know if that's true, but anyway. What I want to point out is that this is a time when rededication of our body temple is so important, because the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well, and he is seeking to devour us. And that is not a happy message either, but it does go in with what you're saying about rededication. And the Lord's been speaking to me this week, and I sent it to Joe and Renee, that this is a time to not get caught up in frivolity and be diversionary tactics of the enemy, no matter whether it's a happy time or not for you. It's a time to rededicate. It's a time to rethink. It's a time to refocus and repurpose again. And so that's all.
Do you have anything that maybe you want to just pray or decree from that?
Father, as we come into your presence, Father, we choose not to look at the darkness. We choose to turn to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Father, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And so, Father, we turn to that light now. And we say, Father, search us and know us.
Yes, Lord.
See if there be any unclean thing in us. Father, we humble ourselves now in the sight of the Lord to you. And we say, Father, we yield our bodies, our minds, our very DNA belongs to you.
Yes, God.
And Father, we just speak again and say, you are God, we are man. Be it so unto us, even as the Lord has purposed for my life. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Karen.
I just had a word that the Lord told me to go ahead and share with the congregation. As Joe was preaching, and he was talking about beholding and hope, and was talking about the things that we behold and how it affects us, I just started talking to the Lord about that. And I was just asking him what my purpose is, like, in a whole. And the Lord made it really clear to me, and I haven't really looked at it like this in a long time, but there's children and there's adults. And he said, up until now, you've been a child. You have related to me as a child thus, and that's good. He's like, but I'm looking for mature partnership. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that he spoke very clearly, is mature partnership. And he said, I'm looking for you to rise up and to grow up so that you can stand next to me and we can converse and we can talk and you can speak and you can decree. And my heart was just like, oh, wow, that's right. Like, I'm not supposed to just, like, live with the Lord. I'm supposed to actually be mature. And I thought that was just for me. And then as Joe continued to talk, the Lord just started highlighting things in my life where he's like, I want you to go deeper. I want you to become more. I want you to give more. And I was talking to him about it. And then it was as if he came up to me, and I was kind of sitting down, and he just kneeled down to me like a dad would, their child. And he just looked at me and he said, see what I will do. And I felt like the Lord that said that he wanted me to tell you guys that is see what he will do when we lay it down even more. See what he will do when we give those areas in our hearts that we've been holding on to. And the areas that we don't even know about, like Joe was saying, asking the Lord. And I felt like the Lord was highlighting that. And the last thing I felt like he wanted me to say is my heart started to quake a little bit. And I was like, ugh. Like this, like you brought this area up. That's bad. I'm really sorry. The Lord said, no, I delight in you. No, I delight in telling you the areas that aren't under my authority. Don't shy away from me. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel condemnation. Amen. I want you to understand my joy that I'm bringing you closer to me. So come to me with joy with the areas of darkness. Come to me with joy with the areas you've not surrendered because it's my delight to help you and it's my delight to grow you up. So I just feel like that was what the Amen. Lord was saying about awesome. All of it.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. Let's just take a few minutes, okay? You just talk to the Lord here for just a couple minutes before we proceed.
His body, the bread, his blood. broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so
ready while they're singing, if you want to just come forward and tear off a piece of bread and get a cup, and if you would return to your seat and just wait until everybody's ready, and we'll take communion together.
God, we just thank you. Jesus, we thank you. You are Lord of all. In this season, God, we thank you for coming down, for taking on human flesh, for living a life that would show us what we were meant to have. Lord, for dying on the cross, for taking on our sins, for taking on our sickness. Lord, for rising again. Because you live, we live. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you, God.
And Lord, today we just take this bread and this cup, Lord, in commemoration of you and honor of you for what you've done. That you not only died for our forgiveness, but that you rose again so that we could have life and have it abundantly.
Yes, Lord.
That we could have it in the fullness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling with us, for showing us the areas of our hearts that we need to surrender to you, that we might know you more, that we might live in freedom. Thank you for this symbol that you've given us to help us continue to come before you in honor and love and thanksgiving.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Jesus. We just bless this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may take the bread and the cup. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Father, thank you for sending your Son, our hope and our life. Glory be to God. Well, we have just a few refreshments out in the foyer. If you want to just stick around for a few minutes and fellowship with one another. And really quickly, I just want to give a couple of announcements. I remind everybody about our Honduras mission trip coming up in July. There's a sign-up sheet out there. Right after the first of the year, sometime in January, we'll have our first initial meeting with those that are interested in going. And then also the next two Wednesdays, obviously Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, we will not have a Wednesday evening prayer time and gathering, just to remind you of that as well. Bless you with peace, rest, and abundance, and Merry Christmas. Amen.